You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, guys? Welcome to a spooky Tuesday edition, Halloween, of the Locked On Pacers podcast. We are going to preview the game tonight against the Sacramento Kings, and with me to do that, I have 16 wins a ring and medium and freelance all-star Cameron Stewart. Cameron, how are you doing?
Doing great. Just celebrating this Halloween with the little spooky hoops.
The spookiest hoops ever. The spookiest game of the day is definitely going to be this Kings-Pacers game because it's just announced today from the Pacers and McMillan that Domantas Sabonis is now also has an upper respiratory infection and might not play, and the center rotation's a little murky. Are you excited to see some Ike Enigbogu?
I hope so. I'm a little bit optimistic to see more from Ike. I'm a little bit weary that we're going to see a lot more of Al Jefferson and Damian Wilkins at the four. I'm a little bit worried about that. But, yeah, hopefully we get 20 minutes of Ike tonight so we can see what he can do. It's going to be a really bad matchup for Al Jefferson, dealing with some young athletic digs. So Ike is probably the solution there.
There's still hope for Sabonis. He's questionable, but this upper respiratory infection popping up out of nowhere is scary to me. So we'll have to see. And especially with a back-to-back, they might hold him out for one of the games. So it kind of makes sense. It kind of, in my head, makes sense that he wouldn't play, but we'll have to see. For those of you that don't know, the game is tomorrow in Baker's Life at 7 or 7:30. I can't remember off the top of my head. And the Sacramento Kings are, I believe, 1-4, 1-5. They're 1-5, and they do not look like a very competent team. Cameron, what have you thought of the Kings so far this year?
They've been really disappointing. I actually had not as like a sleeper playoff team, but I thought they might be a little bit better than they've been so far. Some of their offseason additions, George Hill, Zach Randolph, Vince Carter, they didn't really make sense from a basketball standpoint, especially with them drafting De'Aaron Fox, who I thought was a great pick for them. Buddy Hield, they had a lot of young guys that I liked. They don't have the one star player. De'Aaron Fox might be able to do that, but I had high hopes for them that maybe in a year post Boogie, and I love Boogie, but I mean, there's something that follows him around, it seems like. Maybe that a year without him, you could see some young upstart teams start to do something. But early returns aren't looking too good for them. They look bad on both sides. I was looking through stats before the pod, trying to find something good, and it's hard. It's really hard. Offensive, defensive, young guys, old guys, it's just a lot of crap right now.
They are top 10 in offensive rebounds, and that's it that I could find.
Yeah, the big steal of a win. Offensive rebounding,
which makes sense, like you said earlier, when they have all those younger athletic bigs that they could have opportunities for those offensive rebounds. But offensive rebounds also means you're missing a lot of shots, so
it's a positive but a negative, and that's something that'll be a key for this game. It's bad that they're good at offensive rebounding, but it could be a skill. I mean, you've seen minutes out there with Al Jefferson, especially in the Thunder game, where they have a lot of young athletic bigs, where Al Jefferson's, he's just not as big as some of those guys. He's not as long. He's not as quick. He's just getting beaten to spots. And with Willie Cauley-Stein, that's going to be turned up to the maximum right there.
Yeah, I think you and a bunch of other people have also all tweeted that it seems like when Al Jefferson's in, you know, the first play the other team's going to run is just a high pick and roll, point guard, center, and they're going to get a layup at the rim, and De'Aaron Fox and either Scal or Willie Cauley-Stein or whoever are just going to be so much faster than him. He's going to have no chance in that exact situation. So that will be tough. The Kings offense is weird kind of so far. I mean, they don't have a lot of possessions. I guess they play slower. I haven't actually looked into that, but they're 28th in 3-point attempts.
Yeah, I think they're
– go ahead.
They're like bottom three, I think, in pace, playing a true Dave Yeager, still grit and grind offense, even though the personnel probably isn't there for the grit and grind. But yeah, they're a slow team. They're going to grind it out. They're going to try to beat you to death with just old school basketball. And it's not working too well.
Yeah, they don't really have the personnel for anything.
That sums up the Kings right there.
De'Aaron Fox is quick, so I think when he's in the game, and I know he started in their last game, they might want to push a little more, and Buddy Hield's not slow, and some of their wings are, you know, younger, but guys like Vince Carter and Zach Randolph aren't very quick. Costa Kuvas is slow, and those guys are getting, you know, decent minutes. So that's discouraging for
and
their
Papagiannis.
Papagiannis, yeah.
Better lottery pick, Papagiannis.
That was a horrible pick. But 28th in three-point attempts, 16th in overall attempts, to me just shows how few possessions they have. And they're hitting their threes in an okay clip, but overall from the field they're 27th in percentage, which just maybe shows a young team, maybe shows poor shot selection, who knows. But we'll have to see tonight. But I haven't really seen too much of George Hill. I think I've only watched one Kings game. But I think he is worth talking about just because he's a former Pacer. Have you watched enough Kings to get a good feel for how he's doing? I can see his scoring is way down.
Yeah, not so much this year. It comes without saying that everything is small sample size right now. But especially with him, he just missed their last game due to rest in their sixth game of the season. Not even on a back-to-back, so that's odd. He's a weird match with them because, like you said, they got some parts. I would say if they have the personnel to go anything, you would want to build around the young guys, De'Aaron Fox, fast as they come, Buddy Hield. You want to get open run and gun with him. Willie Cauley-Stein, one of the more athletic bigs. And George Hill, as we found out here, he's in our repeated efforts to speed it up. George Hill is not the guy for that. So it seems like he's playing a little bit out of system there. Got like a battle of De'Aaron Fox wants to speed it up. George Hill, you slow it down. So you're running two different offenses with two different point guards. It's a weird fit. Also right now, fair to say he's their best player?
Yeah, I'd definitely say so.
But, all right. So it's weird that their best player doesn't really fit what they're doing. I mean, they're playing slow, but they're not shooting threes, which is what he's good at. He's not attacking and creating. So it just seems like his skill set is in a match. I was actually thinking today maybe he's a guy that they sign just so they can trade later on, because, I mean, he's a guy that's going to fit on any good team.
They gave him that non-guarantee also in the last season.
Yeah, and it's a declining contract too, where he gets $20 million this year, $19 the next, which makes him as a traded asset. But I don't know. Him signing that big of a contract with the Kings didn't really make sense from the get-go, assuming that they're going to hand the keys over to De'Aaron Fox either this year or next year. So it's just a weird fit. He's not having to go. I like George Hill. Thought sometimes Pacer fans didn't give him the benefit of the doubt, and just because his assist totals weren't too high. But he's not that kind of player. He brings a lot to the table, and it's not really for Menno.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy who'd play better on a good team. It's just kind of how he's built. And I really like George Hill, half because he's from Indianapolis, and I love Indianapolis players, and half because he's just a really good basketball player. And he's a really good three-point shooter. He's only taken 8 in 5 games this year. He's just not he's playing less minutes, but he's just not shooting as much at all. Like, it's significantly down, and that's why he's averaging under 10 points a game for the first time since he was 25 years old. It's been weird to see. So I kind of thought that he would fit in there, like you said, in that mentor role, even if he was slower on older on a younger team. But he kind of hasn't blended at all, and now they're already resting him. Quote, I'm putting that in air quotes, but no one can see me but you. But they're resting him for these clearly tanking purposes games, which is just not I don't think he's gonna like it too much. I think it's gonna affect his play, and it's gonna be weird to see. I don't even know if he's gonna play on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, you would think he would play, but
he's from here, he'll play.
He would have played last game also, so who knows. But yeah, I mean, you saw it here, he's better as like an off point guard. I think he can score when he's asked to. That was never his role here in Indy. But I was kind of excited to see him in a role. He's able to score more. That was more of his game in college, high school, growing up. And he kind of had to learn to play point guard a little bit more in San Antonio. But that was more of his, he's a weird scorer. He's not going to score 30 or 40 on you, but he can score, and he's not really being asked to do that still. It's an odd fit all around for him there.
It is. And it's part of the reason the Kings are struggling is because their vets really don't fit at all. They're all slower guys on a team that, to me, should be playing fast. But then again, Dave Yeager's slow. It's all conflicting and confusing. But in a game like this, especially with Sabonis and Turner out, it's going to be – or, well, not sure about Sabonis, but potentially Sabonis out. Do you have anyone on the Pacers you think is going to be key and needs to step up if they're going to get this win against what should be an easy game at home?
I think that you need a big game from Darren Collison, even though the bigs are out, because he's gotten torched a couple times so far this season. Russell Westbrook, even though he's going to do that to anybody. D'Angelo Russell in the first game. He's had some issues, and I think the key to beating the Kings would be stopping them from their point of attack. De'Aaron Fox hasn't really done it so far, but I think he is the type of player that if he has a big athletic advantage on you and he can start getting in the paint, that's when the Kings will probably start getting frisky to me. Once he starts getting past people, kicking it out, they got the other Bogdanović. They've got Buddy Hield spreading the floor. Scal can shoot. So I feel like once De'Aaron Fox starts breaking down defenses and causing problems, especially without Miles, or even Sabonis, there's any type of rim protection, assuming that we're going to get about, 20, 25 minutes at least of Al Jefferson. So if you're playing half the game with Al Jefferson on the floor, if De'Aaron Fox is getting past Darren Collison, it might be a long night. Make it a little tougher than it should be for the Pacers.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good one. He's actually looked okay this year. Fox has 12.7 points as a rookie, shooting 43% from deep. Obviously, as we prefaced, small samples on all this, but he still looks better. I mean, I liked him in the draft, but I didn't think he'd be awesome in his first year, and he's been competent enough. That's a good pick of Collison, especially in a game against this young team. You kind of want your caretakers to succeed, and him and Thad both kind of fit that mold to me. But I think a lot hinges on Al Jefferson because he never plays a lot of minutes. So if he can't, hang in there a lot of minutes against these young Willie Cauley-Stein, Scal, I don't think Papianis plays that much, but he'll probably be in the game in this one. I don't know how well he'll hang against these young guys, and I'm worried that he's not going to be able to stop them in the post, which is not been the Pacers' strength this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's a strength and a weakness that Al Jefferson, he's not – the Kings, they're not – Willie Cauley-Stein, he's not going to post you up and put you in the Kevin McHale torture chamber or anything like that. But he's going to get those lobs. He's going to play near the rim. That's Al Jefferson not being able to get up with him. That might create offensive rebounds, get some second chance opportunities. If they limit it to one possession, if the Pacers can limit the Kings to getting one possession for the majority of the time, you'll see more – the results will be more talent-based and not on randomness. So I just think that'll be the big thing is Willie Cauley-Stein keeping him off the offensive rebounds. Al Jefferson, he's good at boxing out because he knows his weaknesses. He knows his limitations. He's had these limitations his whole entire career. So he tries to mitigate it. So I think it's up to the other Pacers, too. If he boxes out Willie Cauley-Stein, maybe draw some fouls, get him out of the game. That's a way that Al Jefferson could kind of flip the script on his weaknesses there and turn it into a positive, or at least if he can not get killed, the Pacers should win with ease.
Yeah, I would hope so, especially just because I feel like every other starter on the Pacers has at least somewhat of a matchup advantage on their counterpart. Maybe Thad and Zach Randolph's pretty close, but I think they have a clear advantage in a lot of places, and the Kings' backcourt defense isn't the strongest, so I'm not worried about that as much. But if the center Al Jefferson can't hold up, that's where the problems can come. We've talked about a couple times now, but we haven't really gone in depth. I really like Scala Bissier as a player. I liked him he kind of struggled at Kentucky, but I liked him early at Kentucky before he stunk against IU in the tournament, and now he's looking like he's blossoming into quite a player, and I think he kind of has the mold of a guy who can kill Al Jefferson even more than what we've been talking about. He hasn't missed a free throw yet this season. He's 11 for 11. He's shooting 40% from three and 52% overall, 12 points a game as a 21-year-old. He's averaging 8 rebounds for 36 minutes. I just think he's a really good player, and I think he has a great chance to have a great game. Do you agree, or do you think he's going to kind of fall down?
I agree, for sure. If they play him at the center – when Willie Cauley-Stein's out, he's going to spread the floor and probably make some issues for the Pacers that I'm not sure. With shorthanded without Miles or potentially without Sabonis, I don't think they have anybody for him. If they play Ike at center, he's not a perimeter guy like that. Al Jefferson, as we've said, he's definitely not that guy. So if he can get out in the mid-range, step into the corners, that'll be a big issue for the Pacers that I don't know how they cope with, but maybe you play Thad at center and do some weird stuff. But that hasn't been Nate McMillan. He doesn't seem very caught up in mismatches. Maybe that's more of a playoff thing. But yeah, he's a guy that definitely is, especially with the shorthanded, with playing the old guys and the young guys there, that he could go off he's not going to go for 30 and 15, but he might play similar to Sabonis, just make a ton of shots, make the defense make life tough for him. I've got a question for you though.
Ooh, okay.
You say you like Scal, I too. Who do you think he compares to? Because I've got a weird one. That's probably it's off the wall, but I want to see what you got.
I'm gonna go with his ceiling is probably like LaMarcus Aldridge. Is mine, I guess.
That I watched a ton of tape on him over the last so far this season. I think he was one of the more interesting players. Now that he's going to have a much larger opportunity.
Chris Bosh. Is that it?
Yeah. All right.
Yes, I got it.
And all right. So the guy I was thinking, if you use 3ball.io and watch all of, like, the players' possessions, if you just watch his makes, he looks like my last year. He's got kind of an awkward game. It's not really as smooth, but he's just got great touch from anywhere on the floor. And that's something that you could see early on with Miles, as raw as he was. Sometimes he wouldn't get his feet set or he wouldn't be in the right position. But when he lets it fly and it comes off his hands, it's got a shot every time. So that's what I mean, it's weird because I believe he's actually a year older than Miles.
He is.
But he's a little bit behind on the learning curve. But I liked him a lot coming out of Kentucky. I know he was like a top 3, top 5 guy coming into his freshman year. Had a little bit. He had a disappointing season, but he was always thought of as a project player. That would be better off down the road. So I feel like in the draft, he was penalized for not being an instant results guy. But we knew all along he was gonna his skills were gonna come down the road. So I think we're starting to see the early returns on him being the player that he can be. I think he'll be a 10-year starter.
I do too. I really like Scal, and I hope the Kings don't waste him because they have a ton of centers that he is ending up playing behind, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, the Kings always worry me with any young player, and they've got a lot of them right now. So
they have 8 guys on contracts, which is crazy.
Yeah, hopefully they don't turn him into Ben McLemore and all the other players that I've seemed to like, and then they just go to Sacramento to fizzle out, or seems like they're never the same. So hopefully it's a new regime and they get things figured out over there.
Yeah, I'm with you there. The only area we haven't really touched on as much is the wings. And outside of the only thing I really want is Bogdanovich guarding Bogdanovich at some point. I think the Pacers are really going to dominate the wings just because the youngsters and the Kings, none of them are really good at defending at all. The best defensive wing on this team might be besides Garrett Temple. He's okay, but he's not great. It's like Malachi Richardson maybe, who probably won't even play. So I think it's a good opportunity for Bojan and Vic, and I hesitate to say this, but maybe even Lance to have an okay game. And I think that's where
he's
Pacers.
He is due.
I have not liked him so much this season. So I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I'm always a big believer in Lance, but it seems like all you see if you follow him, like a weird Pacers fan, like most of us are, that if you follow him on Instagram or Snapchat, he's always in the gym working on his jump shot. At media day, all he could talk about was what's the difference between the last few years and this year. And he was, as you'd expect Lance to have, he was extremely confident in his jump shot, saying he was going to be better off the ball, which would be good because they got more playmakers this year. But so far, it's just been terrible. It's been a nightmare for him. Let's see, is he shooting 10% from three still? Something just terrible.
His PER is like 2. And,
yeah. It's been bad. So maybe this is the game where he gets going. I think, like you said, Garrett Temple is probably their best perimeter defender. He'll probably get Oladipo. Maybe you'll see more Garrett Temple play tomorrow for that. But, yeah, I mean, Oladipo, as long as they keep the pace up, I feel like that's something that the Pacers could get caught up and get bogged down with the team slowing it down. And, I mean, Oladipo, as we've seen this year, when he plays in transition and he gets the ball in the open floor, he's dangerous. It'll be about creating in the half court and getting opportunities in transition.
I'm with you there, and I think the Wings have the best opportunity to do that just because they're so weak on D. Justin Jackson and Buddy Hield especially are just – you know, they're both young, so I'm not giving up on them being good defenders. But right now, neither of them are stellar defenders. It's weird because guys like Scal and those guys who were drafted last year – are younger than me, but Justin Jackson, they drafted this year, is older than me. He's super old for a rookie, so I was surprised they made that pick. But anyway, I think one last thing to talk about is because they have a back-to-back, and they're playing the Kings, who are not very good. I think they might try to push for a huge lead by the end of the third so they can rest their guys for the other game. I'm not really sure if that's something they'll actually try to do or if it's just like a let's hope this happens thing, but just something to watch for. If in the third quarter they play their starters big minutes, it's because they're trying to do something like that, I'd imagine.
Yeah, and we've seen more Joe Young lately. I actually played meaningful minutes for, what, the first time ever? Or first time in a couple of years. So maybe you'll see more of the – maybe I'm sure you'll see more of those guys just due to Miles and Sabonis likely being out. The depth is going to be a concern. So maybe they play some – they played experimented with some three playmaker lineups with Corey Joseph, Joe Young, Lance. Maybe they even go smaller and test the depth out that way. But yeah, they'll be tested. But maybe they it would be ideal for them to get out to a big lead and rest the guys. Because I mean, right now, I think this team with the momentum that they've built so far this season, I think the momentum is great for them. Because they're a young team, getting some confidence. I was worried a little bit that the Oklahoma City game would bury them a little bit and maybe turn things back to where most people had the Pacers this preseason as kind of outside of the playoff picture. So I feel like this start of the season, it's big to keep up the energy, keep up the enthusiasm with the young guys so that they don't get discouraged.
Yeah, definitely with you there. All right, I think we've hit all the general positions, and I am ready for the official 16 wins a ring, your medium site sponsored Cameron Stewart final score prediction.
All right, so as we said, I think it'll be a slower game. I'm going to go 99-92 Pacers.
Wow. I was plus eight. So I.
All right. So we're about the same. I don't know what the Vegas line is. But yeah, I would imagine it's somewhere around 5-6.
I was going to. Well, I think I said 10 or 11 or something on our weekly pod. But with Sabonis out, I'm going to knock it down just a tiny bit. And I like that you said the slower thing. And I actually just found a tweet that said they're the fourth slowest team in the league this year. So. I'm going to go 101-93 Pacers, very close to yours, but I think it's going to be that kind of game, but I think they're going to pull it out just because they're the superior team and talent seems to win out. You got anything you want to promote before we go?
Not at all. If you want to follow me on Twitter, go for it. It's at BatmanCam. If I have anything, I'll likely have a huge project coming out in the next 2-3 weeks. So just follow me and I'll be sure to tweet that out.
Yeah, good Pacers tweets. I follow Cameron. You should too. One of my favorite Pacers follows, so I had him on for this. As always, the podcast is at Locked On Pacers. We hope you guys enjoy the game tonight and have a safe Halloween and have a great rest of your week. We'll be on tomorrow to preview the Cavs game.